met my heartache, drank the bottle dry, my tears of sadness, salt has stained my eyes, I've been let down, some days didn't wanna try, but I stuck. Ups and downs on this bumpy road, trying for something. The Lord will bring me home. We're all trying to figure it out. I will not let the blues take me. The blues break me. I've done my time, cried my woes, no sorries for the taking. One step and then another, and slowly we discover it may not be perfect.
Berkshire's Jazz announces a special memorial concert in honor of the late alto saxophonist Phil Woods, which is taking place on Saturday in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. The tribute will be performed by the NEA Jazz Masters Quintet, with Brian Lynch on trumpet, Bill Mays on piano, Steve Gilmore on bass, and Bill Goodwin on drums, along with Woods' protege, Grace Kelly, on alto saxophone, who we were just listening to a moment ago. Woods introduced the 14-year-old saxophone prodigy Grace Kelly to Berkshire audiences at the second annual Pittsfield City Jazz Festival in 2006 when he was a guest soloist with the U.S. Army Jazz Ambassador's Big Ben. Having mentored Kelly at a jazz workshop, Woods invited her to the stage, an event that has become part of jazz lore. Fast forward, and Grace Kelly has headlined more than 700 shows in 30 countries and is part of the house band Stay Human for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, headed by John Baptiste. And we welcome Grace Kelly to the roundtable this morning. Grace, thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Very nice to have you. So give us a sense of when you first met Phil Woods and ultimately that collaboration and what you learned from this man.
Yeah, well, Phil Woods has always been a huge, he's one of my saxophone idols. I grew up listening to him, and I never would have thought that one day I'd, have gotten to work with him and become very close with him. But I first met him at the Stanford Jazz Residency Program. It was a week-long summer program in Stanford, California. And I was 14 years old, and I remember specifically wanting to go to the program because I saw him on the faculty list. And so I emailed him beforehand and asked if I could get a private lesson with him when I was out there. And he emailed me back, crazy that he was so, reachable. And he said, I don't teach private lessons, but I will see you there. And so as fate had it, the ensemble that I was performing in was the ensemble before the one he taught. So he used to come early and watch me and the group, and throughout the week was very friendly and super encouraging. And after that, after the program was done, I saw that he had a performance in Pittsfield, Mass., and I'm from Brookline, Massachusetts. So I went to the performance with my parents and said hi to him before the show, and he said, hey, do you have your horn with you? And I said, actually, I do. It's in the car. So he said, come up and play a tune with us. So I played the song, I'll Remember April, with him. And after my solo, he took off his legendary cap, and he put it on my head. And I tried to give it back to him after his solo, but he said, no, keep it and, take good care of it. Which was his cap that he's worn on all of these incredibly legendary records that he's made, and it's a very well-worn hat. And my dad actually filmed it and got Phil's blessing to put it up on YouTube. And a lot of people ended up seeing that in this community. And then fast forward a bit, we made a recording together when I was 18. We got to tour, do a six-week tour in Europe. We played at the Newport Jazz Festival, the Montreal Jazz Festival, and the Hollywood Bowl at Playboy Jazz Fest. And, you know, words can't really explain how grateful I am for the time we spent together and for musically everything that I learned from him. I mean, it's more than I could ever begin to describe, but our relationship was super special to me, and being on stage and hearing our sounds together is something that I'm so, so grateful for.
I certainly don't want to diminish your relationship with him in any way, but this is sort of, this was something that you did and continue to do, that you would go up to the greats and go up to those people that were iconic to you and of mentors and ask them for advice and learned a lot from an incredible list of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been super blessed to get this amazing amount of guidance from legendary saxophonists that I never even thought I'd have a chance to make music with. And so, you know, I in my whole career have been very much all about like going with the flow, and wildly enough, just by going with the flow, I've been meeting, have a chance to meet some of these great, great out saxophonists, Phil Woods, Lee Konitz, Frank Morgan, and for whatever reason, they've seen something in me and wanted to pass on knowledge and have me up on stage and you know, and it's just been so kind of surreal to me, you know.
I mentioned the show that you're going to be doing, the Phil Woods program, and this is going to be performed in Pittsfield with the NEA Jazz Master. So tell us a little bit about that show and ultimately what you all have planned.
Well, it's a really special show because if you think about it, like the first time I sat in with Phil and where the hat happened and everything was in Pittsfield, Mass, and the man who's putting on the performance, Ed Bride, is the same promoter for that show that where I first got to play with Phil. So that was just about 10 years ago. And so it seems very fitting that this is where we're doing his memorial concert because Phil passed very recently. And it's going to be featuring members of his quintet of all these years, Bill Goodwin on drums and Steve Gilmore. I mean, they've played with Phil for over 25 years. And then I feel very honored to be stepping in to the saxophone chair and also a bit, what's the word? It's a little daunting.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I have to remember that nobody could ever be Phil Woods except Phil Woods. So I'm just coming there with what I know and the things he taught me and playing the way that I play, and I hope that it will honor him and that he will be smiling down at us. We're going to be playing a lot of the quintet music, and it's a fantastic band. It's sure to be a super swinging night, and we hope it embodies Phil's spirit and his music.
And it must be, as you said, daunting to go into something like that, but does and without getting overly mystical or spiritual here, but does that, do you feel that you're sort of taken over by the person and what you learn from them when you do something like this? That you get into the Phil Woods mode, let's say.
I think so. I mean, I think that there is a, you know, we just played a couple of nights, myself, Bill Mays, Steve Gilmore, and Bill Goodwin at the Kitano in New York City. And we played a lot of the standards that Phil played, and it just automatically happens that I'm thinking of him and that things are getting channeled. And that's kind of the beautiful thing about it, to just be thinking about his spirit and his music and then just see what comes out. Sometimes it's kind of surprising what comes out of the horn. And it's this very magical, magical thing.
The event takes place at Barrington Stage Company on Union Street in Pittsfield at 8 o'clock, and we'll give you more information at the end of our segment about how you can get tickets. So since then, you're now on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. You're in the house band Stay Human with the great John Baptiste. What has that been like?
Yeah. Oh, it's been fantastic. John is one of the most brilliant young musicians that I know. And just every day we work on new music. It's a beautiful, spontaneous experience. Which is ironic, right? Because when you think about TV, you think about everything being scripted. But really, the music we're playing and the music we're improvising is very much improvised. The band's fantastic. Stephen Colbert is like the nicest guy and just as funny in person as he is on TV, if not funnier. And it's a great family there. So I've been doing that since December and loving it. And as of today, I'm actually starting to work on a new TV show at NBC, produced by the SNL folks, called Maya and Marty in Manhattan, in the band. So people can look for that too. I think the first airing is May 31st.
Great.
So we're doing a pilot here at NBC.
Nice. So you get to do both. You'll be on both
Colbert
and the other one.
Yeah, back and forth.
Nice.
Great fun.
Good for you. And that sounds like a great opportunity and a lot of fun. And as far as, and just because I'm curious about this, but the first time I heard this story, so the first time you're on the stage of the Ed Sullivan Theater, CBS, and of course you're a saxophone player, and they give you a clarinet. Is that true?
Right. What's that?
Okay.
Oh, man, that was such a trip.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I only got like 3 days' notice before I even was on with them. And John basically asked if I could play like all of the woodwinds. That meant, you know, alto sax, baritone sax, which I hadn't touched since eighth grade, soprano, and then he said clarinet. And I haven't played the clarinet since fourth grade.
Wow.
And, but you know, in those situations, I say yes, and then I figure it out. Except the issue is I only had 2 days, 3 days to figure it out and to get the horns. But I have a great, I'm endorsed by Yamaha, and they're so great to me. So they hooked me up with all these horns. And then, yeah, so the first day on national television, you know, there's so much to learn. Like, they put in ears and you have to, you're hearing Steven's voice in one ear. You're watching somebody, you know, waving things at you, telling you to stop, to start. I'm hearing John's voice. So it's just a whole lot going on. And then at one point, John pointed to me and he goes, take a clarinet solo. And I'm like, I barely know this instrument. And there I was, like, on national TV taking a clarinet solo, just trying to do the very best that I could. But the funniest part about the story is that he wanted to trade with me playing clarinet. So he'd, like, play some burning piano, like, these amazing lines, and then look over at me. And it was quite, you know, I think with all of this, you have to keep your humor with it. And now, obviously, I've gotten a whole lot better at the clarinet and feel much more comfortable with it. But I'm telling you, that first day, I was like headless chicken.
Well, it's, I mean, it's certainly a testament to what a great musician you are and the wonderful places that you're going here. Berkshire Jazz, the concert takes place at Barrington Stage Company, and you can find out more information by going to the links along with this interview or at wamc.org/roundtable, so you can find out how to get more information about this Saturday's concert in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, the tribute for Phil Woods, which will be taking place by the NEA Jazz Masters, along with Grace Kelly. Grace, thank you so much for joining us. A wonderful pleasure to have you
on
the program.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.